But now it's time to look through the window of baseball. We do it for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Arvin Windows and Doors. Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, happy Sunday to you. How are you?
Good, Marty. And, you know, who could forget that day in 1912 when the two of us sat behind home plate to watch Rube Marquardt and evaluate his stuff?
I know, and we were lucky to go to the game because we just missed the Titanic. And so
I had tickets, but at the last minute, I couldn't go.
Right. Unfortunately, we went to a ball game instead.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bruce, this Cueto thing, though, and, you know, honestly, the 13-1, 16 of 18 wins, and he's pitched a ton of innings, and, you know, you talk about most valuable players, and the pitchers have been given that distinction before, but boy, Bruce, they need him now, and they need him big time.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, two pretty disturbing games in San Diego. The first night they came out flat, and then the complete disaster last night after it looked like Posey had won the game. Cueto, you know, he's really the guy you want out there right now. I mean, the only real misfire he's had that you remember is the All-Star game, which really doesn't matter at all. He gave up a couple of homers to Kansas City Royals guys. But, you know, he's been just great every time out, and he's been so much fun to watch. He's been even though he had the reputation coming in, he's really been a revelation around here. I don't think people knew exactly what he was all about, you know, the style, just his comportment, and, you know, the fact that for all of that flash and showmanship on the mound, he's a very down-to-earth guy and great in the clubhouse and just a great acquisition in every respect.
Well, with 70 to go, you figure he maybe 14 more starts. You know, who knows how they'll space him out as the season goes on. But he's on the precipice here of some amazing numbers that he could get done, and it's going to be fun to watch this thing.
Yeah, I mean, 20 wins is certainly on the radar for him, and that's a benchmark for pitchers. That's always a sign of greatness, no matter what the numbers people say. 20 wins means an awful lot, and it tells you an awful lot. It'd be terrific for him to do that. But, you know, with him, he and Bumgarner are anchoring the staff. You know, it really bodes well because those guys are competitors of the highest order, and we'll see how the rest of it shakes out.
Boy, second half baseball is something, isn't it? You know, it just hit me last night again. I said, get ready for the ups and downs. If you win three in a row, you're winning. You lose three in a row and you want to disband the team. And that's what second half baseball is for, because you feel you got it and then they take it away from you. And get ready, because it's a different mindset.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, the Giants, you know, they're one of those teams that, when things do go bad, we're kind of in that spell right now. It's only two games, but it's, you know, it's not a great feeling. There's always that cushion, that great, you know, comfort zone of knowing that it's a winning team in recent years, and, you know, this team's probably going to improve. I'm sure they'll get a relief pitcher. There's no doubt about that now before the trading deadline. They got guys coming back, and, you know, unlike the teams that haven't done it, and you're not quite sure if their guys are, you know, the kind of guys who can take you to the finish line, the Giants know that for sure about their guys.
Joe Torre was in the news this morning and yesterday, and it was interesting. I thought about this. Joe Torre, of course, is in charge of sort of protocol and the game on the field and managing the emotions and what the players do. And he said, no more managers getting to look at video of balls and strikes, because the managers are now really going to be a pain in the neck. They're arguing about all these balls and strikes. It's interfering with the game, and we don't want it. And so you can't use video to see if the umpire is good or bad. And we want you to stop chirping from the dugout and stop walking out there, and it's not good for the game. All right. So it made me
agree.
Yeah, it made me think of this. The only time we get to see a manager come out and get thrown out of a game is on balls and strikes, because you can't get thrown out of the game anymore in a play on the bases, because every play is reviewed.
That's true. And, you know, sometimes a manager, and Bochy's definitely qualifies, wants to get thrown out of a game just to fire up the team, change the mood, just to lay out some steam or whatever. But I'll tell you this, I agree with Torre, and, you know, we've talked about the idea of a computerized strike zone, and it's a little bit alarming, but it eliminates all this stuff. This whole thing, guys getting tossed out and the managers, is about umpires' strike zones and how incredibly different they are from umpire to umpire. personally, I get a little bit riled when a guy gets upset with a call, and then he's out of the game. How great is that for baseball? Your number three hitter just got tossed because he didn't like the ball and strike call. You know, that all goes away with computerized umpiring. And as much as I like to see a good argument, it's for the wrong reason. It's, you know, your guys are getting tossed out because there's no standard to the strike zone, and they get upset about it, and rightly so, but they don't really get a chance. If you throw your bat down or you come out and say one or two words, and you're gone. Not right. Gotta go.
No, I agree with you. Because as soon as – and they have to come out and argue because they have all the built-up testosterone going on, and they're yelling and screaming. They got to come out and release it, you know, and yell at the umpire. That's what they have to do. Where you could do it on a play at first base, if they missed it, you come flying out of the dugout and run down to first base and scream at it. Now you put your hands on your ears like you want earmuffs.
And that's, I know I've got mine.
Yeah, and that's what you do. You want to put earmuffs, or you want to listen to the beautiful music your father made. You know, you want to do something like that. It's crazy. You lost a part of the game, and now, in a crazy way, I kind of like the manager coming out yelling about balls and strikes because it's the only time you saw him get upset.
Well, he could always come out between innings to just for who knows what, just for something. I don't know. It is a part of the game, but to me, it's not about the managers. It's about players getting tossed out of the game for arguing a pitch that just, you know, wasn't a strike. Or was a ball or whatever, and it's clear on the replay, and the guy just got ripped off, and he says two things, and he's gone. I'm sick of that.
Yeah. Hey, this week it's Fenway for two, then the big stadium in the Bronx, even though the Yankees are down, and this is a critical week for them to see what they're going to do, and I think they're going to be sellers no matter what. I think they see the handwriting on the wall. But looking forward to this week, Giants baseball from Fenway for a couple of games. Is Kane there? What happens with Panic next weekend? And then you are in Yankee Stadium. You know how things go there.
No, it's going to be terrific. Great television for those of us here at home. You know, just those two ballparks. Fenway's always been one of my favorites. It just the way it plays, the pesky pole, you can hook one around there. You can hit the hardest ball of your life and have it go off the wall or hit a kind of a pop fly. I'm sure Mack Williamson hit an outright pop-up and it would go over the left field wall.
Yeah.
And then Yankee Stadium. I have not been to the new Yankee Stadium. We don't do as much traveling as we used to with columnists for budgetary reasons. But I've heard it's lost a little bit of luster. But it's still Yankee Stadium. It's still kind of, it still has the same essential dimensions. Not like the really old one where it was like 457 to left center. I love that. But wasn't that it, 457?
Yeah, 450, yeah. 409, I think, to right center, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and then a little hook job down the right field line. And homering to right field, I tell you, the Giants should be really aware of that. How many times did Derek Jeter poke a line drive to the right side and went out?
Yeah.
It's dozens of times. But it's Yankee Stadium. It's New York. It's, you know, the media will be all over them. It's a big deal, and you know, we'll find out a lot about the Giants in both of those series.
I think so. I really do. I think we're going to find out a lot about them up to the trade deadline, because then you got to deal with the Nationals, and that we talked about Tanner Roark yesterday. Apparently, he is the best in the league at overcoming a rain delay. He's had like five rain delays where it doesn't bother me. I just go out there and pitch, and he pitched another shutout yesterday, eight innings of shutout ball. But over these next 2 weeks, and I'd like to get your thoughts about the bullpen and Casilla and all the calls we got last night and the tweets, I'm sure you saw them. What do they do here over the next 2 weeks, and how do they make this evaluation, and where does it take them?
Well, I don't think they do anything really radical like tomorrow, but I think last night was kind of the curtain kind of came down on Casilla a little bit there. I mean, you know, the team, I think they lead the league in blown saves. He's been very erratic. The fan base has been down on him, and now he can't win the fan base back after that. He can't do it. You can't fall off the mound and balk home the winning run after you've served up three hits on meat fastballs and got saved by Posey on a miraculous backhanded stop on a pitch that would have been a wild pitch to score a run. He didn't do anything right. He's not a lost cause, but I think that was something that was just like the PB throw that bounced off the Posey throw that bounced off PB's chest into a glove was a sign that last night was a sign too that something has to happen in the bullpen. Romo again, phenomenal, absolutely great, vintage. Now whether he's going to close, I don't know, but they will get a relief pitcher.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. I don't know if they're going to be able to get the premier relief pitcher because the Yankees hold the cards there, and they're the Yankees. They're not going to take a pitcher from Port St. Lucie. You know, it's just not happening. You know, they want people who can play, and the Cubs have the most, I think, to give them.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes.
Definitely
the other thing that hit me last night, and I tweeted it out as well, what a game. I mean, down and coming back with all the home runs and the Posey home run and even the way it ended, that was a baseball game in July that was fought to the last second and was the most dramatic thing you could have. And with one eye on the Dodger game, which went down to the last pitch in the ninth inning before Arizona tied it up. Those are games to be played, and you play as hard as you can to win. Then I thought of the stupid All-Star game and a game that is not played to win. They could care less about the way it's played, and that determines something huge. I saw the dichotomy last night. I really saw the difference.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on that. You know, we've talked a lot about the All-Star game, and I think you have to be crazy to think that having anything to do with the World Series is complete lunacy. But yeah, last night was a great one on both the Dodgers and the Giants. I mean, you know, Kenley Jansen's out there, and Jake Lamb, I mean, this guy is such a he's making a bid for one of the best players in the National League right now. He was big in the game tying rally and the winning rally, which was ended by, I think, Drury got the hit that ended it. But yeah, it's just and you know, you got McCarthy, all of a sudden he pitches great, so they're feeling good about their rotation down there. Trace Thompson's on the DL now with a back injury, and then the Giants are trying to figure out the bullpen and guys, you know, Pence has a little bit of a setback. It's just, there's so much going on. It's just sensational. And you know, here in July, we like you say, these games are so much more interesting and meaningful than the All-Star game, even with 70 games to go.
Yeah, and it's compelling. I tell you honestly, I can't now the story every day because all of a sudden you're up by 5.5, maybe 7.5, then 3.5. And then you're looking to see who's coming in next. And this is what hooks everybody on baseball. This is the key to baseball, what we're coming up to now. So I tell everybody, get ready. You know, get ready. This is not like April or May where, you know, well, we lost three, but it doesn't matter. Now you start losing games, and now you start looking at the standings. And I love it. I love this part of the season.
Well, it's really going to come into focus in Fenway and Yankee Stadium because, you know, what a treat. I mean, as much as we're all looking forward to the big series against the powerhouse teams in the National League, they get a real break here. To me, a great interleague schedule is this. It's probably a little tougher, you know, than if you got the dregs of the American League and nobody cares. But I'd like to see the Giants play the Red Sox and the Yankees every year if they're going to play interleague. Can't happen, but that's the only time to me it's at all compelling when you get two really good, interesting teams playing each other. The rest of it, you can have.
Yeah, then the Orioles come here, which is going to be interesting,
too. Yeah, that's a good one, too.
That's a good one. All right, hey, have a great afternoon. The good news on Jason Hamill, the potato chips worked.
Ah.
He got his potassium, and he pitched a great game yesterday.
I think he's going to embellish it with a nice tub of lard, which is pretty tasty.
Call Hamill's winning today in Wrigley. I think, remember, didn't he pitch the no-hitter in Wrigley? I think he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Beat Arrieta. So he's up 2-0 on the Cubs right now. So we'll see how it all plays out. Great to have you with us. Enjoy the week. And congratulations on the book. Every time I look on Twitter, you're somewhere else doing something with the book. How's it going?
Well, since you mentioned it, it's called Shop Around. It's about Motown and Stax music. It's about listening to a different kind of music than your parents did, which I think everybody can relate to, and it's doing pretty well. The reception's been real good, so I'm very happy with it. Amazon, you can find Shop Around.
Any events coming up?
August 10th, Wednesday night, I'm going to be at Green Apple Bookstore on 9th Avenue in San Francisco at 7:30, signing books Wednesday, August 10th. Had a fantastic book signing at Perry's just for kind of friends and critics and stuff last week, which is just sensational. So I'm just happy with the way things are going. It's been very, very rewarding.
I got to get you over to my friend the Book Tree in Montclair. David does a nice job up there. We got to get him in touch with you. Maybe you can
Absolutely.
Do something. All right. Hey, Bruce, have a great day, and I'll talk to you next week. Boy, Yankee Stadium, we got a lot to talk about next week.
Yeah, I can't wait. That'll be fun, huh?
All right. Thanks, Bruce. Have a good
day. You bet.
All right. That's Bruce Jenkins. Always fun on a Sunday and Saturday as we talk to him about things in baseball and in general. Just a nice conversation.